You're listening to an RNIB Connect Radio podcast.
It's Guide Dog Blogs time on RNIB Connect Radio, and I want to talk travelling once again. And joining me again is Janice Mitchell. Janice, thank you for joining us.
My pleasure.
I want to talk travelling because, you know, me and my guide dog travel all the time to work or social adventures. How much travelling do you do with Megan on, like, public transport?
I do a fair bit. I live 14 miles outside Edinburgh, and I go into Edinburgh quite often. So we either use public transport via the bus, or I prefer the train because it's a quicker journey. And then once a year, I do the journey by train from Edinburgh down to London, which is a completely different way of doing it because of the length of the journey.
How's Megan on trains in general?
She seems to love them. I'm lucky. She's a very happy, very settled dog, and she just gets on the train, settles herself down, and you don't hear a peep out of her, basically.
Is there a difference as to what Megan's like on short-distance trains, like your journey to Edinburgh, compared to when you take her to London?
Yes, on the journey to Edinburgh, she alerts at the stop before our stop at the main station. When we leave Haymarket, which is a two-minute journey from where I'm going to be getting off, she's a lot more getting herself settled and up, ready to indicate to me it's time that we get off the bus. On the journey down to London, which is 5.5 hours, I think Madam sleeps for about 4 hours and only wakens up to be fed and given a drink of water. She stretches out there quite the thing and just snoozes the journey away.
Well, you can't say you blame us. It's a long journey, so I think, to be honest, that's the best thing they can do. And, you know, something a lot of owners tend to do as well. You might as well on the journey that length. I tell you what is quite familiar. I don't know how guide dogs do this, but they seem to recognise the stops, because when I travel into London for work, my dog has this knack of getting up at the right stop. It will not get up at any other stop announcement, but it will get up when London St Pancras is announced, and equally the same for when my home station is announced. Which
I don't know how they do it, you know, because I think she's just sitting there quite the thing, and the minute that we leave the one station before, she starts getting herself ready, and then as we're coming into the station, she's all four paws on the ground and looking at me going, this is our stop. It's very good, because sometimes if I'm distracted, I don't notice that we're about to come into the main station. So I'd love to know how they do that.
Yeah, I do find that quite remarkable. It's the one time I kind of believe in what the public say, when sometimes it sounds like the dogs have superpowers, where they can tell certain things which we wouldn't expect them to. What's Megan like with buses?
She's not so keen on them, and I think it's because there's not so much space for her. I try, if possible, to sit in the front seat where the wheelchair space is. But obviously, if there's somebody with a wheelchair, then we don't use that seat. I think she's a bit uncomfortable, because even although she's a petite Labrador, at the end of the day, she is still a lab. And the buses, the space between the seats now seems to be narrower than it ever was. So she really, once she's in and lying across my feet, tucked under, she literally can't move. It's tight. So I prefer the train, where she can be stretched out and I don't have to worry if, you know, I'm constantly checking that her little tail or her rear end isn't sticking out for somebody to step on her.
Going back to trains, is there anything you prepare for Megan for long train journeys that you take with you to make the journeys a little bit easier for her, or anything you do on the train for a long journey for her?
For the long journey down to London, which is the third, is between 4.5 and 5.5 hours, depending on the train. There's a few things that I do. I always book my seat in advance and try, if possible, to get in the disabled carriage, because there's a lot more floor space there. They can accommodate between 2 and 3 wheelchairs. So there's a lot of space for Megan. I also have the special ticket that you get to pop on the seat, because the seat is reserved for her, so that if the wheelchair space isn't available, there is still enough space for her to be stretched out because the seat next to me is left empty. So you apply in advance for that card and it lasts a lifetime, basically. It's a little yellow sticker that you put on the seat and it says, assistance dog under seat, please do not sit here. And that is very handy because she can lie full length out. And I also take the usual spender just before we go on the train. So I always find out the nearest area that I can take her to make sure she's comfortable for the journey. And then I have her food because she's usually due a meal. I take her slow feeder and she gets fed halfway down, has her fresh water on board and a little snuffle mat as well to keep her going. But as I say, I'm lucky she sleeps most of the journey.
This is what I like about this feature because you always get to find out these new things. Like I did not know about this card that you've described. So that'll be quite useful because that's quite often sometimes what I really need, especially on longer train journeys, to make sure my guide dog also has enough room to stretch, especially when the journey is quite long, like the one you've described.
Yes, yes, because I wouldn't want her cramped for that length. I didn't know it was guide dogs that told me about that, and I just contacted British Rail, explained the circumstances, and got it sent back to me within a week. I also book passenger assistance because I need somebody to carry my cases, especially going on and off the train, because there's always that worry with a gap when you've got the dog and yourself to get on safely. So it's good to have passenger assistance booked in advance.
Yes, I think booking in advance is always good, especially when you're going to smaller stations as well. Let's quickly move on to taxis. How have you found taxis with Megan when it comes to travel?
They are either excellent or it's that dreaded word, a refusal. I tend now locally, I use the same company and they all know me, so it's smooth sailing as far as that goes. But if I'm in a different area, refusals are just getting to be a bit horrendous at times. You know, I think people forget, one, it's our legal right, and two, we just want to be treated the same as everybody else and be able to go from A to B.
When it comes to getting in the taxi, where is Megan able to go within a car? Does she go in the front with you? Does she go in the back foot? Well, does she go, where do you put her usually?
I prefer her in the back and get the driver to move the passenger seat forward to give her extra floor space. Somebody told me, and I haven't had it, but there was an email apparently sent out a while ago from Guide Dogs to state that if a dog was going to be travelling in the front of the car, that we had to request that the safety features were turned off so that the airbag, if you were in a crash or a bump, the airbag wouldn't come out and hurt the dog, which is something that I never thought about. I used to always have her in the front footwell.
Not only he fits nicely in there, but also taxi drivers feel a bit more comfortable when I say the dog will not be immediately next to you. It makes them more keen to, well, let me and my guide dog in the car, I find. Well, Janice, thank you very much for chatting to us and giving us a few travel tips that we've not heard of here. And it's, yeah, thank you for joining us once again here on Guide Dog Blogs on RNIB Connect Radio.
That's okay, thank you.
For more interviews, features and shows, go to your favourite podcast provider and search for RNIB Connect Radio.